We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We got a chance today to show them who we are in front of the world.
Looking deep, has a man wide open. Touchdown.
Touchdown for Jacksonville.
Touchdown, Jags!
You're listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
What's up, y'all? It's JK3.
Derek, I don't know about you, but I met my step goal about 10 times over with that parking situation.
Man, let me tell you what. First of all, the gouging for freaking just because the 49ers in town and you're going to jack the rates up or whatever to park. You know, home team doesn't want to do me any favors, and I'm trying to buy a parking pass. I don't want a discount. I don't want a hookup. I'm willing to pay full price. And they're apparently sold out. But every time I go down to visit one of my friend's favorite tailgate, there's like 100 parking spots open, even up until kickoff. So you're lying. I think what they do is they hold it for club and suite, you know, ticket members. That's just me personally. I haven't heard that. I don't know that to be true. But that's the only thing I can come up with because they don't want to sell me a pass to a paying customer. So instead, I have to park, you know, all the way down Talleyrand, which is fine. I don't mind the walk. It's okay.
How far down Talleyrand? Like, give me some landmarks. How far down did you have to park last Sunday?
I mean, let's see. I mean, I was down there by the Jaguar Food Mart, man. So, you know.
Yeah, that's what I put into my Maps app to get there.
You're about a mile and a half at least.
Yeah, man. You know,
down you got there, your you steps know, in for sure you know, on Sunday.
Where the crosswalk is over Haines Street Expressway, the old public school back up in there when, you know, I used to ride my scooters all through there when I was a kid.
Was anybody selling any barbecue plates back there?
You know it, man. Kid was selling cakes, pies. No, I ain't getting no barbecue plate.
Oh, so you don't like local businesses. You don't like
it's not. I want to spend another dime down there if I'd known the 49ers were going to punk them.
He's a Bonos only.
Basically, what happened?
He is. Support the local business, aka Bonos.
Heck no,
Dick's Wings.
Don't even play me like that.
Derek, how deceptive was it? And I felt like I gave you really bad advice to park back there. Sorry, it's not usually like that. But how deceptive was it that they show what was it like $50 or $40 or something like that? And they're yeah, and they're standing with the sign. And you assume that you're just gonna like pull off right there and park, and then you give them the money, and he's like, "All right, follow that person way down there," and then you drive like four other blocks.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Wait, so you're trying to tell me that so a person had the sign up to say $40 for parking, and you give them you pull in, and keep following down.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but here's the thing. So, here's the funny part, right?
Y'all got to get
you give them the money, and they're like, "Hey, you know, go holler at Ray Ray down the block, right?" Yeah. So you go holler at Ray Ray, and when you holler at Ray Ray, you got to have the code, you know, the code in the street.
No, for real,
you know?
They do that.
Yeah, the code. So you get the code.
Bro, it's not a speakeasy for parking.
And then Ray Ray gives you three more codes for the six other people that you have to see.
Oh yeah. My God.
Then once the code, once you get, you know, then you get back there and you park or whatever, and then they have all the little golf cart guys taking you all the way up to you're not even to the stadium, you're probably still another half mile away. But, you know, you kind of expect that when you get a big opponent like the 49ers coming in town. I expected some increases, but not $60. Anybody that paid 60 bones, okay, we need to band together and do something about that. If you paid $60 to park,
$60 to park. That's
paid six on Talleyrand.
Well, hold on, Derek, because you didn't even mention the fact that not only were we way back there, we were back on like some, I don't even know what it was, like some former dock or something. It looked like
y'all are too old to be panels.
It looked like you guys are too old to be going through this. It looked like, honestly, I don't know if you looked, Derek, but there were like holes where you could see the river through the like floor from where we were parking at to the point where I told Derek.
Park on a barge?
I don't know, maybe it was a barge, but I told him when we got in the game, our cars would be loaded up on a ship and taken across the sea to some other country or something, but
that's insane.
But yeah, you know what that was, right?
Probably the old Ford motor plant.
Ooh, okay. It looked pretty rough. Yeah. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, and I don't know, don't quote me. It's just been, you know, it's been so long since I've actually, been down there, but actually, Corey, that's exactly what it was.
Now, I'm hey, well, they, of it. They just it broke down on the Four Seasons, so you know, you yeah. park there from now on.
That Derek, was, that, I think, that was Derek, the slab where the nah, I think that was the original Burger King,
the original Burger King.
So, anyway, that joke's gonna get old, but
no, it was way back there.
Four seasons.
Wait, no, under the Matthews Bridge?
Not under directly, like just kind of adjacent, just to the right of it. Like, or if you're facing it, just to the left of it. And then, you know, you're out there, you're on the water. So
that's the most detailed I've ever seen that bridge. So we were pretty close.
Yeah.
So y'all are in a flood zone.
Yeah, but no, it was a that was basically the highlight of the day, because we know that the stinking game wasn't the highlight of the day.
Yeah, the highlight was the parking and the barbecue place that you got on the way there, man. I'm
really quick, yeah. Derek, another thing, because, you know, as part of the walk from the parking to the stadium, I don't know if it's you, but that is the most counterfeit merchandise I've ever seen sold outside of the stadium ever. There were fake jerseys all over the place. Some, like, you know, teenager looking kids who were like getting up real close to you, being like Trevor Lawrence jersey, like real like low under their breath and stuff. And
did you get anybody that was like, hey man, I got that gas. Got that gas for you.
No, I don't think I got quite that. But,
oh, you didn't get the gas?
Nuh-uh, no.
If you know about the gas.
I don't know about that. I don't know what I'd say if they approached me about that. Like gas for my car or what?
No. Gas for your lungs.
Oh, okay. No. The only thing we saw were like Jags hats where like the logo's crooked and it's like forest green instead of teal. I mean, it was pretty bad stuff actually. But I've never seen so much fake stuff outside the stadium. It was actually kind of
everybody funny. Trying to make a buck now, man. I mean, the Jags are 6-3 right now. So yeah, everybody's trying to make a dollar. That's it. Like you said, Derek, everybody's trying to make a buck right now. I think that's one of the cooler parts about Jacksonville, honestly, is that everybody's trying to hustle. Everybody's trying to capitalize. And again, this, like, winning cares all. We talked about this last week or last year, like how the economy and how, again, this is like macro or microeconomics on how it will boost everything around Jacksonville. It's just one of those things, man. Everybody's trying to benefit off of what it costs. Going to a Jaguar game, they know that the crowd's going to be there. They know that everyone is going to be amped up and ready to come into the game. So, you know, why not try to make a buck while you can? Not knocking the hustle, but I'm knocking the hustle.
No, I'm not going to knock any hustle at all. Everybody comes out there to support the team, or to make a few dollars, whatever the case may be. You know, winning teams bring that type of atmosphere and culture. Mm-hmm. And personally, I love it. I embrace it. It was, it's good to go back. You know, not just for the team and to being a fan and seeing everyone. It's kind of nostalgic for me. You know, I've brought it up 1,000 times on here. My grandma lived off Jesse Street. I spent many years down there as a child riding through there on scooters and stuff. So it's just, anytime I walk through there, I'm just looking like, wow, like this it looks familiar. But the main thing is, it is just, it's so fun to be part of that because it's been dead for so long.
Yeah.
And I think it shows the potential. I think JK3, you weren't able to be on last week. Corey and I talked about a new generation of fan.
Yeah.
That's getting rid of this old guard that needs to go. They need to go and get 100%. Out of here so this new generation can take over to see the full potential and growth of this city.
Yeah.
You know, people get into the whole tax dollar and the stadium and all that conversation. The bottom line is, if you look at, you know, cities that have NFL teams, they go in debt for a while and then they come out and they make profit by the time the new generation of fan is coming up and we're being replaced.
Yeah.
So, I feel like you see more and more evidence of that every year, and it's definitely showing its face this year.
Well, that's what it's about, man. Like when again, we've referenced it several times about going to away games and going to, you know, these historic and nostalgic stadiums, and you see all these people that are fans of a certain team, whether it be, you know, your Chiefs, your Packers, your Cowboys, you know, all these different historical teams that we've had to play the last couple of years, and you see that no one's selling their tickets, or there's not that many, you know, Jaguar fans. And even looking at the 49ers fans, granted, if there's 49ers fans here that, you know, are 49ers fans for a week when they play the Jaguars, or they've been displaced, or they moved here for the military, or they moved around the country X amount, you know, times or anything else like that, but they continue to carry their fanhood. I think Jacksonville is on the cusp of that. You know, we are on the cusp of, you know, think about it. The team has been around only since 1995.
Yep.
Like, literally, they've only been around since 1995. Us on the podcast right now, we've all been alive to see the Jags from their inception and have been fans as them being, you know, from the inception. So our kids are now the next generations of Jags fans, and there are generations in between there that are Jags fans as well. So, you know, we are the pioneering group of the Jags fans that have seen that, you know, along with the older, or maybe the baby boomers that have been relocated because of the Navy, whatever. But so that's coming, right? So it's coming right now. You got 49ers fans that, you know, see Jacksonville as a destination. I've mentioned it as well, that Jacksonville, as far as ticket sales, ease to get to, international airport, all those kind of things, you know, it's a destination game for people to get to. So to tie into seeing a lot of the red for the 49ers fans, they travel. You know, I think when we have a rivalry game coming up this week, to completely skip ahead of what we got going on, it's your time to show up. You show up against a rivalry game. You show up against, you know, teams in your divisions and everything else like that. But point blank is that, you know, they got fans out there. And, you know, we're right now into the cusp of where discretionary income for us as Jaguars fans is starting to increase a little bit, where we can actually go to the games, and we're starting to try to bring more of our kids, more of our families, and those things like that into the stadium. So we'll get there. We'll get there for sure.
Well, I think if you just do a quick calculation, I mean, what is it, the 30th anniversary next year? Take your ages right now minus 30. We were very young when the Jags started, right? So it makes total sense. I mean,
some of the people who are Jags fans are negative.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Think about that. Isn't that weird?
That's crazy. But,
Yeah. So no, I think yeah, there's a
minus,
lot to that.
Minus sure. minus Derek, he's probably plus 25 when the Jags started.
Yeah. Well, he was talking about riding that scooter during the Great Depression downtown.
No, like, my boy was out here a chimney sweep. Tiny Let's Tim. Let's hit you,
man. He was like 6 years old working in the Maxwell House factory in child labor.
Boy making coffee.
Just kidding. But Derek, what about, thankfully, you know, while we were surrounded by 49ers fans, and you know, they definitely were trolling us most of the time. I mean, anytime we'd say Duval, they would say Debo over top of it, which was super annoying. But didn't see any fights in my section, which was kind of disappointing. I hate to say that, it makes me sound like a terrible person, but I think that you evidently saw some of that aggression coming out in Jags and 49ers fans.
Yeah, there was an abrasive, you know, 49ers fan that was, you know, looking to pick a fight, and one of the Jags fans in front of me told him to shut the hell up, and he got upset about it. And honestly, I had no problem with the guy telling him to shut the hell up, because he was definitely looking for something, looking for a reason. But what the funny part was, the 49ers fan, his wife had to like go talk to the Jags fan while he's up there yelling. And she was like, why are you even responding to him? It's like, why is he all up in everybody's face?
Yeah.
So as this is happening, wifey and I are trying to leave. And I told her, she's like, what are we going to do? Are we going to go down near them? No, go up. And she's like, why are we going up? I said, we're going to go up and stay there till this dies down. Because if they fight, if they swing, they're going to go down.
Okay. Yeah.
They're either going to fall. He's going to swing, miss, and fall. Yeah. Swing, connect. They're both going to fall. Or one's going to tackle the other, and they're both going to fall. Point is, the only direction they're going is down. So we need to stay up until that passes. But
you can get hurt and end up in the viral video too, which is worse.
I think that really, you know, just speaking for Jags fans, and you know, not condoning violence or anything else like that, but I think I think the Jags fan is just tired of it, man.
Yeah, we're tired
like,
of it.
Like, I honestly, dude, I'm not trying to condone violence or anything else like that, but man, Jacksonville, like you said, we're one of those crowds now. We are one of the youngest teams in the NFL, and people are just getting tired of the away team coming in here and this being a cakewalk. And you know, we got some name to put on thing. You still got to remember, this is Duval County. Like I live in Clay, so I grew up in Clay County. Don't get me wrong, but this is still Duval County, and some people here in Duval County are really ready, and they're really about that. You know what I mean? Especially about the Jaguars being 6-3 right now. You know, again,
ask Seahawks.
I'm literally not condoning violence. I think that everyone should have, you know, a good time of coming to the game. But if you bout that action, man, like there's some people here that love the Jaguars and are really about, you know, what it is with the Jags, and
they're showing it. They're active. They don't care about what's going on
the field right now. But then again, man. Like, again, I'm not condoning violence, but Jacksonville is one of those places, man, where we're starting to get a bunch of fans that are really getting in the seats, and they're not going to take any disrespect. And again, I'm happy that Jacksonville is not being a destination, but it's one of those places where you need to come in like any other opponent. You need to respect the opponent at home. And, you know, again, I was down, I was away for work at the time, but whenever I'm here and we got some fans that are some opposing fans that are coming and they're in our seats, we make sure to let them know that, hey man, the bathrooms are on the other side of the stadium. Like, don't go down. you know what I mean? And those kind of things like that. So,
Let's stop being bashful. We're condoning violence.
And no, we're not Jaguars condoning
fans
violence.
Should fight.
We are not
the away
condoning
fans.
Violence. No, absolutely not. We are not condoning any violence or anything else like that. But just make sure you respect any away fan that comes into Jacksonville. Respect it as you were going to another away fan. That's all I'm saying. If you're an away fan coming in to Jacksonville, respect it as if you were coming to any of those popular places that you don't want to go to, because we about it here, and that's it.
Exactly. Couldn't say any better myself. I'm definitely about it. That's all I know. If anybody talks to me,
about it. Drop the ages. You about it here. They're about it here. And
quite honestly, people find out.
Thank you, Corey. People are finding out that Jacksonville is not a, you know, they about it here.
Well, it stinks when the team doesn't give us any ammo.
Yeah, I mean, the 34-3, bro, that was good terrible. Point. You're going to have those. You're going to have those.
My thing is, and I know we wanted to move on from this and get to Tennessee, but what I saw a lot of were audibling, checks. San Francisco was doing a ton of motion on offense. You could tell the defense, they were out of place. When the Jags had the ball, there was a lot of things Trevor was doing, trying to read and look at changing things up. You know, I know there's a snippet of Fred Warner saying they don't know what they're doing, and some dumb behind on the Jags was like, yeah, we don't know what we're doing. Even if he was joking or not, still, you don't say that.
Oh, he said that for real?
Yeah. If that's true, if someone didn't fake that, who knows? You know, people spend time on there just to get some internet clout, so who knows if it's real or fake or not. Point is, you can clearly see, not after the first quarter, not after the first drive, after the first play, San Francisco was ready, and we weren't. We weren't ready for that type of energy that they were bringing. We had no answer for it the whole game.
Yeah.
There were some guys out there that were scared, Tank. Scared. Trevor.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I don't know why. I sit back and I say to myself, as I'm sitting there looking at them, I'm up in 200, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like, why do you look scared from way up here? I can imagine what it's like at the field level. Like he just go. You go out there and fight. Like you call a timeout and get him. Like, what are we doing? Fight! Oh, they got Bosa and Chase Young. Who gives a crap? Fight! And they didn't do it. And I get it. Some games you're gonna have good days and bad days, but that's two games now this season where they just had no fight.
Well, I mean, Derek, to piggyback off of that, I think like having no fight, I don't know if they were prepared for San Francisco to be as physical for them, because the way that I look at it right now is that San Francisco was looking at, you know, Jacksonville as a buck stops here game, right? Like, we're going to put an end of it right now. You know, and we're gonna really stand up against a brick wall. And I felt like Jacksonville came in as the darling, or the belle of the ball. Like, you know, we're gonna make it happen, and it's gonna just happen around us. And I think San Fran came in and really just took it from them. In my opinion, I think they were physical at the start. I think they were physical at the snap. I think they were more physical on defense, physical on offense, and really just had some plays where they were really just able to outgain Jacksonville. I mean, and looking at, you know, their last couple of games, I mean, you know, the Niners beat the Cowboys 42-10. They beat the Browns, you know, 19-7. And then they went on their skid. It's a three-game skid. The only games they really lost, like, crazy. You know, they lost to the Browns by 2. They lost to the Niners by 4. And then
who did they lose to by 4?
The Vikings.
The Niners.
Excuse me. The Vikings. Yeah. They lost to the Vikings by 4. And then they lost to, you know, the Bengals. And the Bengals are hitting their stride right now. So they only, in my opinion, they only dropped, like, I know the record says it, that they dropped, you know, those three games in a row. But, you know, handedly, they really only got beat by the Bengals 31-17. A couple of fluke plays between the Browns and the Vikings. You know, you can take it what it is. But I think this is, for them, it was a get-back game to get ready to go
to get ready to go into what they're going to see as far as their NFC journey, because they got, after Jacksonville, they've got the Bucks, they got the Seahawks, they got the Eagles, they got the Seahawks again, they got the Cardinals. That's five, you know, NFC games in a row. And again, a couple episodes ago, we were talking about seeding. They got five NFC games, and each one of those games have a little bit of weight heavy to them. And then they got the Ravens after. So they go through a gauntlet of NFC games, and then they got the Ravens after. That Ravens game is going to be a measuring stick game for them, along with the Eagles, along with the Seahawks, who are doing pretty decent right now. They play them twice. So,
they came in ready, geared up, because they know that they're about to go through. Yeah.
Tune up.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It stinks because, you know, five-game winning streak, momentum, you know, in the national media, some have called us pretenders, which I think a lot of them can, you know, kiss my butt, especially Chris Broussard. You know, he's doing the NFL because they basically all but kicked him out of the NBA. But no, it definitely is. It just was a bad day. It's a bad game, and I'm just ready to move on from it. You know, it's tough. It was just real tough. So, and whether, you know, everybody's got, oh, well, presses call plays, Doug might call plays, they had a meeting, Doug's going to start calling plays again. Press was really calling plays second half of last season. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, all this back and forth. Look, I don't care about none of that, all right? Yeah. I don't care about none of that. What I care about is, hey, you know that they're going to study Trevor. You know that they're going to study your tendencies, okay? The whole stadium knows that you can only throw in the ball 5 to 10 yards right now. You got to change that.
Yeah.
I don't care if, oh, well, the O-line or Trevor or look at the scheme. No, you have to change. That is the only way that it's going to work, is you have to change.
Yeah.
The great teams can adapt and change.
But I mean,
don't change, we won't win.
I think, you know, with the Press Taylor stuff, you still got to execute, right? Whatever the play is called, and if the play is called, and then whatever we're relying on, you know, 16 and team to be professionals and to really just be able to, you know, make adjustments, right? Make adjustments at the line. You know, not necessarily run the plays that are just being called, but just make adjustments based off of what you're seeing, right? And yeah. So for this past week against the 49ers, we saw a really good advantage in the screen game, right? So the screen game was working really good. We were getting some chunk plays, and then we had a bunch of chunk plays, and then obviously, you know, Kirk fumbled. So we got to clean that up, right? So you can't just move forward and say you got to clean those things up. And if you can't clean those things up, if a one-on-one tackle and you're not able to hold the ball, you know, on a one-on-one tackle, right? So those things got to be cleaned up. But then also, as far as being able to adjust and adapt against the defenses, you had Chase Young and you had Bosa coming off the other side of the ball, and everybody else just realistically – like, I mean, I'm not saying this figuratively, but they were just backing up. Fred Warner and team were just backing up. They had Armstead coming through. Everybody else was just backing up because they knew that Chase Young and Bosa were going to get to home or create some disruption. And if it was a screen, we're going to run and we're going to corral to the ball, and then everybody's going to get there, right? So that worked all the way up until they got into the 20, 30-yard line. And then Jacksonville had to get creative and had to get settled for the field goal. Yeah. So, I mean, they have to get the one-dimensional stuff, man, has just gotta get away. You gotta get away from the one-dimensional stuff. You gotta get away from the first read. You gotta get away from the second read. And I thought that, you know, it was gonna be I think when Bosa said like a week ago that it was just one of the things where you take away the first read and make the Jags or make Trevor go through the progressions. Art and Key just said it today. I believe that, you know, again, the progressions was there. Derek, what do you think about like, what do you think about that? Do you think it's more of the first read, hot read, timing, those things like that? Or do you think we legitimately, like, have an issue where, you know, Trev can't progress through the reads?
I think he can progress through the reads. I think the problem is a few things. You know, we've been, everybody's harped on the O-line all year. That we know that's a problem. We're not going to, you don't need to dissect it and, oh, we're going to move Walker Little. We need to input Ezra. No, no. We know the line is a problem. Okay? That's one. Two, and here's my opinion, my personal opinion, on the biggest issue we have is we have Calvin Ridley, this so-called Ferrari, right? We have Evan Engram. We have an ultimate slot receiver in Christian Kirk. But those aren't the guys he's most comfortable with, that Trevor's most comfortable with. He's most comfortable with Zay Jones, in my opinion. And Zay's been out. And now he's got some personal stuff, which, whatever, whatever, you know, don't let, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But he's most comfortable with Zay. And with Zay being out, that throws a monkey wrench into the entire thing. Now, it's helped that ETN has picked up a lot of that slack in the passing and the running in running the ball. So that's why we haven't felt it as much. But there still has been some turnovers that have been happening because of that comfort level. So if you take the O-line, one of its the most comfortable receiver, in my opinion, that's been out, and then scheme with, you know, Lil Press or Doug or whatever. So you add all three of those things up, and the recipe's not working. It's the game plan's not working right now.
So what do you think as far as, like, taking over the play calling, right? So everyone's saying that Doug needs to take over play calling. What does that entail? From your understanding, what does that entail?
So for me, what that means is Doug needs to take over the play calling. He's probably inputting in the script, okay? For those that don't know, first 20, 25, 30 plays are scripted. They're already predetermined before you get out there. They might deviate from it. They might not. But the first few plays, you know, first few series are scripted. Once the script ends, I feel like D coordinators and very good defensive teams pick up on what's being called. Now, whoever's calling it is whatever, but they've picked up on it. So if we're calling, I don't know, if it's third and one, all right?
They don't run the ball in third and one.
Yeah, and we're in the shotgun. Like, look, man, Trev, you're in the NFL. You're 6'6", okay, 6'5". You might only be 215 or whatever. I don't care. Get under center. You have to. Because you can't just sit there. This isn't college. It's not going to work. You can't just sit in a gun all day. Look at freaking Philly. When they want a yard, they line up in that BS formation and they go get the yard.
They want 3 yards.
Yeah.
Out of the brotherly, what do they call it?
Brotherly love formation? Yeah.
Brotherly tush.
Yeah,
push.
But yeah, they get under center, and that's what we have to do. We have to kind of reinvent ourselves a little bit in a sense where do some things that aren't tendencies.
Yeah,
because they've been picked up for a while. It's just that nobody was good enough to beat us until last week, and now we're gonna come across some tougher teams that are going to be good enough to beat us if you don't change our tendencies.
Yeah.
So third and one, third and two, get under center. You know, if you're not comfortable with them under center, if you're going to do a play action, roll them out. Get them out of there. Put two tight ends. Stem one. Put him off. Send him in motion. I don't care. Do something. Do something, anything else besides a bubble screen, a tunnel screen, or one of those little traps, you know, screens.
Yeah, I think they definitely got to get more creative in that third and short situations. I think the running game, I think we could swap out Tank You know, that would be great for us to continue because I believe Dearness Johnson was able to Dearness Johnson was able to show his value there. So I think that Dearness Johnson needs to go ahead and take a leap over Tank currently right now. And I think if we can run that 1-2 you know, thunder lightning kind of package right now with Dearness Johnson and Travis Etienne, I think that that's going to be the key to getting the running game going. But then again, though, dude, it's just one of those things where, like, we have these fumbles that are just back-breaking fumbles and drive-killing fumbles. I know that Kirk had one last week. Evan Engram had one the week prior to. So just those back-breaking fumbles, those drive killers. I mean, you can't put that on Doug. You can't put that on Press. You can't put that on Trevor or anything else like that. It's just one of those team mentalities. So as the Jags go forward, you know, into the remainder of the season, you know, where do we see them as far as them being mentally stable and mentally being able to capitalize on some of these non-mistakes, like these drive killers? Like, if we can continue to keep going forward and continue to score, like, you know, what does the change have to be there?
You know, this is where Doug Peterson's kind of even keel personality comes in, because he doesn't
change.
He's
got to say something, right?
He's got to say something, but he's not going to put them down. He's still going to stay the same. So I think this helps. That type of personality helps in these situations. Now, I wish he was a little bit more fired up the week before to light a fire under them. Whatever. Point is, I feel like we can easily bounce back. This isn't over. And here's why. Now everybody's doubting you. We're right back to it. Houston's on your tail. They got a kid down there that's way better than your guy in Jax. That's just luck. You're a podunk town anyway. You shouldn't have a team. So let Houston's going to bump you and then da-da-da-da-da. All that other bull crap that the media, you know, likes, especially the national media, likes to talk about. Forget that, okay? Stay within the locker room. Stay within your lane and get motivated to go play, because now it's, you know, yeah, you're still a game up in your division, but you got a little bit of motivation now. Oh, he, you know, Trevor, you're only a one-read pony. You're a one-trick pony is what you are. It's all you are. Are you? We know he's not. He knows he's not. So maybe use that as a little bit of motivation. And I'm not saying they need to listen to all that. They probably don't. They don't hear all that nonsense. But I want them to find something to fuel that fire, to get that fire going. And I don't know what it could be, but I think that we could easily find some things. And
they could do
some things internally, and I'm sure they are. I'm sure Doug's gonna have. He's an experienced coach. He's been in this league 30 plus years as a player and a coach. He's seen it all.
The fire has to be lit that you don't have the hold on the AFC South like you thought it was. You got teams like Houston that are breathing down your neck right now, and you're gonna play them for the second time in 2 weeks. And they got a lot of momentum going right now. So I think the fire that needs to be had is that if this is our division that we're going to have, I mean, I hate that they lost against the 49ers on Sunday, but I would rather drop a game against the Niners than a game against an AFC opponent. And even doubling down on that, I would hate to lose a game against the AFC South opponent. So you got a couple of games right now between the Titans coming up here, this home game, and then you got the Texans in their place in 2 weeks, where you can really go out and just, you know, really dismantle and try to really show your dominance on these teams. You know, especially since we're looking to be the top dogs, you know, in the AFC South. Like, one of those things that we talked about a couple weeks ago, it wasn't just winning the AFC South, but now we're playing for seeding. So if y'all are really thinking about playing for seeding, I know they're saying that, like, oh, we're not looking ahead at games or anything else like that, but realistically, they are looking ahead at games. They know who's coming in here on Sunday, and they know who got who they got after in 2 weeks. These next 2 weeks are going to be so pivotal for the Jags that could like literally make or break our season.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It definitely can.
Well, you know what doesn't help is losing Zay Jones, who could have been a good piece coming back. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts, not to get too into the weeds on the details, but
is he back or what?
I mean, yeah, I mean, he's out of, you know, jail, and they, you know, he's got another court date.
But he was at practice. I think Demetrius showed that he was at practice indeed.
Okay, good.
Something like that, and he was at practice indeed today. I think that's the tweet that I'm reading.
My only thing that I hate about this, besides the situation, you know, domestic, you know, it's just, don't even want to really comment on it. Whatever. If there was a police report, I know his sister's been really sticking up for him on social media, as she should be.
Yep.
But here's what I hate about it the most. Old Goodell up there in New York, they could drop, that girl could drop the charges. They could make, this whole thing could go away. Like, oh, you know, it was just a mistake. You know, he didn't swing on her, you know, with anything. Apparently it was over a necklace and some scratches or whatever. But hey, that's for the law to figure out, not for us to even try to say yay or nay. But Goodell up there in New York still will suspend him if he feels like it, just off of whatever he's feeling. Like, the player can be found not guilty or the charges can be dropped and he can still suspend him. And he's very stickler, especially for domestic situations. And I don't like that because it's like, hey, turns out they've made amends. It wasn't that serious. You know, it was a misdemeanor. We investigated it. Here's our full report. Boom, you're suspended. Why? Because I'm going to suspend you. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair at all. So, and I'm not saying he's going to get suspended, but I'm just, if you look at the league's track record when it's come to domestic situations for players that are in the public limelight, because Goodell doesn't give a crap about the ones that aren't in public. He only really cares about the ones that the news can pick up on and make the league look bad. And that's a fact. That's what I don't like, is now you've got their attention up there and they're, you know, he could do it at any time. At a time, hey, I'm ready to come back. No, you're not. You're suspended.
Throw the gavel down on him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And it's true. Hey, I mean, think about it. Freaking Pac-Man Jones got suspended one time for throwing money up at a strip club. And the club got shot up.
Wait, so time out.
He didn't do anything, and Goodell still suspended him.
Time out. Yo, hey, your measuring stick is Pac-Man Jones? You could have picked anybody else, but you go with Pac-Man Jones.
Derek, I knew that.
Hey, what are you thinking right now? You could have gone anywhere else, but you go Pac-Man Jones?
I said that because I knew that you would get this reaction.
Oh, right, my here. God. Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
You went to the ultimate button pusher of the NFL? What? You went Pac-Man. Bro, I was expecting for you to say, like, I don't know who else is. I don't know.
No, unfortunately, there's so many examples. Pac-Man isn't the best example.
You went Pac-Man.
I literally said it because I knew he was going to go
nuclear on it. Oh, my God. You could have went. I mean, dude, there was so much more other low-hanging fruit that you could have went. I mean, bro, I'm just dumbfounded that you went Pac-Man Jones.
No, and I'm trying to think of an example where, unfortunately, I should have prepped and found one or two with this similar situation. Bottom line is, I don't like the power that Goodell has, that he could still suspend players the league could take action just because he, you know, quote unquote, feels like it. It just does not sit well with me. You know, this situation will get worked out or whatever. Hopefully, you know, everybody's okay. And that just, you know, ends up being a peaceful situation. But I just don't like that now the league has some say so and could mess with us just because of that.
Yeah. Well, my biggest thing that I have the issue with is that that was the jersey I bought before the season. So that sucks.
You jinxed
it. I actually did jinx him because it's the first jersey I bought in probably like 15, 20 years. No joke. And he's been hurt and now this and, you know, whatever else maybe I'm not even thinking of. So that's unfortunate. But
I mean, you didn't necessarily jinx him because you have the same last name.
Yeah, well, that was the plan, is to kind of like not be a loser by putting my last name on it, but secretly still doing it, and it's an actual player's name, you know? But I'm going to take duct tape and turn it into a Tim Jones jersey. So
big Tim Jones fan here. Big Tim Jones fan. He was the only receiver that caught a pass last Sunday.
No, they caught a... Kirk had 6 for over 100.
I was being facetious, obviously, but I like Tim Jones a lot.
Okay. I can't tell, man. I think I threw you off with like your facial here on the video here.
Pac-Man Jones, man. My mind is just blown. Like, you just went Pac-Man Jones, man. Like, you know, it's just one of those situations where you're just speechless. And I'm just thinking of other players that you could have said, and I don't want to call anybody out because I don't know who listens to this podcast or anything else like that. But for you to throw Adam Pac-Man Jones as your example, man, that, you know, that's hey, no fun league, NFL. That's what they say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on Fanatics right now looking at the different jersey choices to maybe get a new one, and they're selling RJ Soward with the new jersey style and everything. Dude, no, yeah, they are. Yes, they are. Yes.
First of all, you can't say that company.
I do not believe him that they're selling an RJ Soward jersey.
I don't see an RJ Soward. Man, he lying. Don't let him
lie. He is lying. Yeah. Let's see.
Hold on.
Oh, man, it's probably some... What is that? What is that?
That's not the thing. Hold on.
Yeah, wait. I bet. It says ADHD shouldn't be this hard. Like, go ahead and put your credit card information in there if you want to and buy that RJ Sauer jersey from that.
That was a phishing scheme. No,
no, it's not. One. Dude, what is this? This is a screenshot. It's not a real link.
I don't have a link to it. Hold on a second.
Yeah, no, don't.
It's the go to the Jaguars jerseys and then go to page 3. I'm telling you, it's the second jersey up there.
Buying them off Main Street.
They have the men's version and the women's version.
Fanatics Authentics at Norwood Flea Market. That's where you buy these.
No, for real. If you go on there, and they have other old players too, with the new style, Gerard and Leftwich. For
they
some
got
reason.
It. Everyone, dude, you can go ahead and get you a. You can go ahead and get you a Pete Mitchell jersey while you're at it, or you know, Aaron Beasley in the new style. All the Jaguars really have legends.
They got a RJ Soward.
Yeah.
Goodness, man.
I was being for real. That's a weird pickup, too. I don't know who would buy that.
I would rather have a Justin Blackmon over RJ Soward.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They don't have that one, unfortunately, but they have RJ Soward.
That they had an RJ Soward jersey, number 81 in the new. Who is
so? You know, maybe that's a better comparison to what you were just talking about. Instead of Pac-Man Jones, RJ Soward or Justin Blackmon, right? Maybe those are a little bit more low key. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. No, I really said when I was thinking of an example, I said I'm going to say Pac-Man because I know he's going to get fired up, and that's just it's going to give me a laugh for the night.
It's definitely one of the coolest names ever.
Yeah,
for sure.
No, it's man, it's crazy, but no, it. We need Zay Jones back more than people realize. I don't think people understand his importance, what he's become, as far as just the Trevor's kind of safety net. Because I feel like with the three of them on the field at the same time, we definitely have one of the better receiving cores in the league. And I don't think they've gotten a chance to really stretch their legs as a core because he's been out with the knee, and then now he's got the personal stuff. But He's very important to the team, and he can do some really good things. I think if him and Trevor can get going, that'll ease up some of the shadowing, the over-under and doubles that Ridley has been getting, and really can open up this offense. And we just, you know, they're just going to have to play better up front too. You know, Tennessee's really going to come in and try to, you know, set the tone early, follow the so-called game plan of taking away the first read, and then, you know, going from there to making sure that we, you know, the Jags are flustered or whatever. You know, ETN will definitely have to be more involved. Tank, man, got nothing against you. Don't know you. You're in the league, so you're a heck of a player, but something's up, man. You got to get that fixed. You got to get those hands fixed.
I mean, we don't have to be, political about this. Like, I mean,
I'm trying to be political. I don't want
to
say
you don't have to be political about it. You don't have to be political about this, but everyone knows that when Tank Bigsby, number four, gets on the field and he gets the ball, everyone kind of just expects something's
some
going
to
happen.
About to go down. Yeah,
if you get a 5-yard game, we're all just relieving sigh, where it's a sigh and relief right now. So I mean, let's just keep it a buck. Just keep it a buck right now, that man, that you're scared when number four comes in.
Trying to be politically correct.
You don't have to be PC. We just, like, literally, we're all a bunch of fans. We're all watching the game right now, where everyone is scared when number four comes in and gets the ball. We're all scared. And I would much rather have number 25 getting the ball versus number four getting the ball, just because of the consistency that he showed as far as the ball handling skill goes. That's just what it is. Like, I don't know the guy. I don't know Tank Bigsby or anything else like that. I'm just going off the play on the field. When number four gets the ball, I am terrified.
Look, I think the correct word is panic, or phrase is panic stricken.
Okay, whatever. If that's a PC word that we need to discuss and we need to describe it, when number four gets in the game, I'm just like, here we go. I can't be the only one. I can't be the only one. I can't be the only one that thinks that.
No.
Again, I don't know. I don't. Again, this is nothing against Tank Bigsby as the person, but Tank Bigsby as the football player. Bro, you got to tighten that crap up.
You know,
you
got to
tighten it up, man.
Catch some wiffle balls, bro.
This is starting all the way into Indianapolis. He caught a ball, and then Quiddy Pay or whoever that was that just came in and just knocked the ball out of his hand, and he just, welcome to the NFL moment. And then you would think that he would learn from the NFL, welcome to the NFL moment. And now it's just, dude, he's had fumbles when he thought he was down, you know, catching the ball, it ends up being an interception. I mean, right now, he's the right person at a bad place or a bad person at a right place or whatever you want to describe it as right now.
Yeah.
Like, number four is not conducive to the to our offense right now. He's not. Like, literally, he's not. And I hate to say it, but you just got to put it this way. ETN went this way a couple years ago before he got hurt. ETN, he fumbled a couple times, had a couple turnovers, things like that. When he got in, we thought, like, oh, man, ETN's in right now. This is what's going to happen. Now, number four comes in. And I'm going to refer to him as number four. I'm not going to try to, you know, savage his name or anything else like that. But four comes in, and we all look at this way like, oh, here we go. Everyone says that. Like, we all say it, that when he comes into the game, he gets the ball, we're just waiting for something bad to happen. And that's not what we want out of our second or out of our second string running back, right?
No. Yeah.
Well, I was pulling up, I just sent this to you guys in the group text, but just out of curiosity, if there was any talk about fumbling and turnovers prior to him being drafted. And I saw a couple different ones. I saw this one. It said, keep an eye out for fumbles as he often carries the ball loose. So evidently, I don't know, maybe this is something that's been a thing that they thought they could fix once he came to the NFL. But evidently, they have not fixed it. So I'm not sure what you do about that, but it's definitely a bummer, and he was actually the second choice of mine to buy as a jersey, so I, just put that on him, I guess, as well. But any other thoughts heading into the Titans game Sunday?
Obviously just win. We'd love to see some the defense play with more intensity, especially with Arden Key. Throwing shots, shut that up. They got a rookie quarterback, Will Levitt's back there. don't, you know, underestimate him because he's a rookie. You know, really get after him. And I would just love to see the offensive line maul somebody. Let's run for 200 yards and just get after it. Just maul some people. Do what we got to do. And just go out and win the game. That's all. No predictions. No. We're the first couple of, just go out there and play ball. Have fun while you're doing it. Play ball and go win the game.
For me, I think that last week was a measuring stick game, you know, obviously against the Niners. I think this week is a domination game. Like, I think that this is a game right now where you come in and you really assess that this year, you know, you can look next year and 2-3 years and everything else like that, you know, with the AFC South and everything else like this. But, you know, I'm over the Jags winning against the lower tier opponent. I would like for the Jags to come out and actually dominate an opponent. And I think that this is the best time for us to come out and actually destroy an absolute, you know, a rival, you know, go out. You got a rookie quarterback right now in Will Levis. I want us to go out and actually be able to, you know, assess dominance of the AFC South. And I really want us to be able to, you know, kind of put a cap on, you know, what we got going on with the Titans right now. I think we play them right now, and then the next game, hopefully in the mid or at the beginning of January of next year, is one of those games where we can kind of pack in, because we're already on our way to seeding in the playoffs, you know, those things like that. But I think as everyone's saying that they are, you know, on to Tennessee and everything, it's like let's really be on to Tennessee. Let's really, you know, go out here and create push at the offensive line. Let's really go ahead and go back to the Jaguars football that's been over the last couple of weeks or the last year in creating turnovers. I think that if we can get, you know, the pedal to the metal on the offense and just continue to keep it on right now, like, don't let off. Let's give me a 42 nothing. Give me a shutout. Give me a 35 nothing, 28 nothing, 21 nothing, you know, something like that. You know, where it is just an absolute beatdown, an absolute demolishing of an opponent, and, you know, get right for Tennessee and get right for the next couple of games that you got coming on, because you got some big name opponents. You know what I mean? Like, literally, you know, can we literally just be able to go through here? Let's put together, let's put away the issues as far as, you know, Doug, you know, being the play calling. We can't control that. Like, we don't know who's the play caller. Is Doug going to be the play caller? Is Press going to be the play caller? Execute. Like, is Trevor, his knee, is he limited to it? Doesn't matter. Let's execute. You know, defense, come on. Execute. You know, those things right there, man. It's not panic time yet, you know, for us. But all the things that we're asking about, let's just go ahead and just put, you know, film and put everything to rest. And let's go.
Sure. No, absolutely. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to the game Sunday. Another home game. Definitely excited about that. Hopefully the weather will be just as good as this past games. I thought it was pretty cool. You know, it wasn't too cold or obviously not too hot. So that was nice. And before we leave, quick shout out and kudos to our first ever sponsor, Brewer's Pizza, for all their success over the years. And
yeah,
it looks like they're actually about to close down here. So I think that was a fixture of Orange Park and whatnot in that area. Lots of people bummed out, you know, bummed to see that they're closing up shop. But definitely appreciate them in the beginning, because they were sort of our first sponsor. And I could still, I think, verbatim say the little, like, you know, kind of catchphrase or whatnot that we used to say at the beginning.
Shout out to Brewer's Pizza as well for, you know, being the first sponsor as well. But I think that we've had a couple of Twitter questions as well that have been directed to us, you know, for this, you know, for this, at least see if we can try to discuss this as a group. But at Nachi719 asks, is it panic time for the Jaguars?
No, it's definitely not panic time. Still got a long season to go. We still have a lot of games left to be played. I think what they need to do is this is more like identification time. let's identify some things and make some changes. I feel like we came out of the bye with the same type of, yeah, we've done this, so we're gonna keep on doing this, and hey, it doesn't work anymore. So now let's see if they have identified it and they make some changes. Definitely not panic
time. Well, also, I think we had even said a couple weeks ago the fear of peaking too early, right? So it's probably not a bad thing that they're going to maybe lose a couple games here or there rather than going on a big win streak early in the season, because the teams that do that end up, kind of losing steam towards the end or in the beginning of the playoffs. So I think it's, not necessarily a bad thing, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely just, peaking and all that. I feel like it's just, it's one of those things where you have to keep reinventing yourself in the NFL, because these D coordinators and these players are so smart and they understand, how to break you apart in the film room and then go execute out on the field. So we need to return the favor. It's time for us to return the favor. We're not a one trick pony. Go return the favor and show them what you're made of.
What other Twitter questions we have there? I didn't realize we were so popular. We got questions.
Oh, no, that was just one of the ones that we had. But then we also had a longtime listener. Give me 1 second. Let me pull up his name. I know it was Kevin. Kevin Brown. Kevin did go ahead and confirm that Burger King was, in fact, invented in Jacksonville. Derek
doubted me.
So Kevin's the arbiter of the the truth about Burger King in Jacksonville, apparently.
I mean, he was able to come through with a couple of factual pieces of information for us via Wikipedia, it looks like.
Oh wow.
So at US Browns, he was able to send us some information from businessinsiders.com, that showed that ever since the first install, Burger King opened its doors in Jacksonville, Florida in 1953. So again, Derek was the third person in line, there to get a Whopper with fries.
You know what? Stop.
I think it was second. It was second.
Stop playing with me, man. Oh man, this guy.
The funny thing about that joke is Derek's not even old. He's like not even that much older than us.
He's literally like 5 years older than for the record, yes, he is. He's a 5 years old. But it's just one of those things where I've been able to kind of just literally poke at Derek and prod at Derek for him being,
tell another Pac-Man story next week.
Older bruh. And he's gonna tell you about how he was letting that fire off in Gateway and oh, look, no, you're not saying anything about it?
Look, man, I'm not as young as you two, but I am not that old. I was not around when the Burger King opened up, okay? Dang it.
So, but no, and all jokes, I say it in complete respect. You are you have been around to see more things than us, so we always have to cross reference you as the Jacksonville Wikipedia.
That's true.
Oh man, but that just goes back to the generational fan. It's time for that new wave to step in and show our support for the growing city. And, one day we'll be replaced, and hopefully that generation behind us will take over and continue, get the city continue to grow and prosper. But no, man, I am, I told you I was right. Dang it. Burger King with this started in Jackson. That's just all there is to it. So
here he goes.
All right. Well, I'm glad that we clarified that over three episodes. That's good. And that Kevin used Wikipedia as his source, which of course
it was Business Insiders. It was Business Insiders is what he said. Businessinsiders.com. Businessinsiders.com is what he cited. Of course, that's true. We're going to fact check it, and I'll find a way to make sure we get something to Kevin because he was the first person to respond to us via Twitter. to fact check. So we'll find something to get Kevin your way. I appreciate you listening. He's one of the loyal listeners as well to the podcast. So we appreciate that.
For sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate that. And we appreciate everybody for listening. Again, if you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review. We just got a recent 5-star review, which is really awesome. Really appreciate that. So if you just have a second to jump on there and put 5 stars or even just write some kind words or something you like about the podcast, that'd be great. If you don't like the podcast, just don't do anything. That's all. That's easy enough, right? We're also on Spotify and affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. So we appreciate you for listening and talk to you next time.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.